Praise the Lord, everyone. It's great to be with you again today. And I look forward to speaking to you the Word of God and believe that God is going to speak to your heart today. I'd like to speak to you on a message called Preparing to Exit the Wilderness. Preparing to Exit the Wilderness. We're facing times unlike we've never faced before. Things can be frightening. Things are uncertain. But folks, that doesn't yet mean that God is silent. These are times unlike any other. COVID-19 pandemic has impacted and changed lives in unexpected ways. The way we live, the way we interact with others, the way we do business, the way we work, the way we entertain and worship has changed and may never be what we once called normal again. It is crazy what is expected of us during this time. It feels like we are in a bad dream sometimes. Social distancing of 6 feet apart is the new standard. And they want us to wear masks and we have to stand in line just to get into stores. Hospitals are unable to handle some of the situations. Unemployment is skyrocketing out of control. There's even a toilet paper shortage. But people are stressed. People are anxious, they're uneasy, losing track of themselves because familiarity is gone. Anxiety and suicide are on the rise. Drugs and alcohol consumption is also on the rise. Our faith is being tested and tried like we never before. You see domestic abuse and all these things are climbing every day. But the reason for these troubling things is people are unable to plan for the future. You see, we don't know what may happen tomorrow, let alone 6 months from now. People find themselves living in uncertain and seemingly eternal present. It seems like we'll never get out of our house, let alone the COVID, also the bad weather. Life is complex and we don't know what to do. Life has been interrupted. We are forced to stay at home by an unseen deadly enemy. The question to you today, maybe you have heard it or maybe you have even asked yourself, how could God allow something like the COVID-19 to happen? When God speaks, folks, He speaks to the church, He speaks to the world at the same time. The message is different, but the purpose is the same. The purpose is twofold. Number one, He wants to get our attention. And number two, He wants us to draw closer to Him. This is both for the world and for the church. Now all of this is happening. The world is saying, Lord, have mercy on us. And people who never pray are getting a hold of God and they're praying now. The Pew Research Center, a survey organization, says more than half adults, which is 55%, say they have prayed for the end of COVID-19. God is getting their attention, amen? He is drawing them closer to Himself. To the church, He is saying woe to them that are at ease in Zion, amen? We have allowed the church, folks, to become complacent and settle for mediocrity and turning many churches into coffee houses and social gathering places. But instead of the church being the light of the world or the change agent of the world, we're having social gatherings. So God has allowed these things to happen. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey His command. The wilderness is to get our attention. It is to draw us closer to God. Folks, understand, God has a desired end to your wilderness. Amen. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Or I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. God would eventually bring healing and restore his people. Now you may be thinking, well, that's just great, but what about me during this pandemic? Amen. What about God's plan for me? Folks, two times when you look at verse 11, the word plan. What is God's plan for me? I want hope today. I want a future today. And I believe this is why we love this verse so much. Individually and collectively, we crave the hope that God does have a plan for us. We crave the hope that God has a future for us. We hope that is true. Amen. We want to believe that is true, but maybe your struggle with this today. Does God really have a plan for me? What is God's will for me today? Folks, God's promise is always achieved through preparation, whether individually or corporately. Amen. You cannot avoid the journey if we want to get to God's destination. Folks, the flesh is deceptive. To be a servant of God takes a people that walk in the Spirit. And remember, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, which causes us to submit and to serve. Amen. The sole reason that what seems logical or illogical, one lesson learnt, one victory gained, does not make us a servant of God. There is a process. But here lies the possibility or the deception that we think we have arrived. Think about Moses. God took him to the wilderness so he could lead God's people. A man born of faith, raised in the courts of royalty. A somebody who got ahead of God. Amen. He tried to work out God's promise in delivering the Israelites by killing an Egyptian and was sent to the desert to be taught God's ways. What happened with Moses? You see, this was a lesson that we need to learn and we need to know ourselves. Amen. It was Moses' idea. It was initiated and energized by Moses, his flesh. It led to failure and greater opposition. You see, the flesh at work through it appears good, and according to God's promise, instead increased bondage to Israel. Moses went to the desert or to the wilderness for 40 years to become a nobody that God could use someday. Greatness, as the Bible defines, it never comes suddenly. Amen. Understand, folks, greatness is forged in the furnace of time, of afflictions to the flesh. Proverbs 17, verse 3 says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. James 1, 2 through 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now sometimes we think we can cheat or take shortcuts in our destiny. Just like Moses tried to cheat and do things his way, we know his end, amen? And when we refuse to allow God to teach us during the wilderness and we cheat and insist on doing our own thing, and in doing so, we miss the process. We miss the preparation needed to fulfill our promise that can only be found in God's school. And where is God's school? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. In a desert land he found him. In a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. In Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 3, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. To humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you could keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You see, the Hebrew word desert means to speak. It's literally, folks, the classroom of the Spirit of God's school. Why do we need this place of learning? Because in the desert, character is formed. Folks, God is more interested in the character of His children than their gifting. You see, God has allowed this pandemic to happen. He has allowed death to run its course. He has allowed fear and panic to grip the hearts of the people. He's allowed stay at home to happen. He has allowed normalcy to change. He has interrupted life, but he says better days are coming. Amen. When we come out of that wilderness, we're going to see greater things. So before better days, amen, before we can come out of the wilderness, we must do the premise and the promise. Everyone wants the promise of God. We want life more abundantly. Amen. But we want it failing to understand or do the premise. Premise means the prerequisite that must happen before the promise is released. How will the exit of the wilderness come? In 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 14, if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. You see, here God caused a nation to pray in verse 13. The world, folks, is praying because of COVID-19. They're praying today. They're seeking after God. Amen? Verse 14 gives the premise, the prerequisite for those three promises. Remember, the message is to the church and to the world. Different messages with the same purpose. Amen. It said to humble themselves. Remove your pride. Amen. Often we are prideful. It is all about me, me, me. And falling or failing to love other people. It says to pray. Talk to God. People are praying like they haven't prayed in a long time. Amen. It says to seek His face. We should look for God's glory and not just His hand. Amen. We must die out to worldly desires. Die out to the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye and the pride of life. Scripture says, turn from wicked ways. Repent. Turn 180 degrees from sin and that sinful lifestyle. Then hear from heaven. Forgive sins and heal the land. Amen. David said in Psalm 61, 1 through 3, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. For thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. You see, it is important to pray with a broken heart. You need that humbleness. It says a contrite spirit, that shows sincere remorse, filled with guilt and true desire from atonement. God put Moses and Israel in the wilderness, but they were not forgotten. Amen. He didn't forget you today, folks. Whatever wilderness you find yourself in, God has not forgotten you. Amen. He put Moses there. He put Israel there. But He did not forget them. To proclaim to be a people of God, as Moses did, as Israel had, was not enough. We could claim it all day long, but somebody said it is dishonest to talk about the power of prayer and lead a prayerless life. Amen. It is dishonest to talk about forgiveness and fail to forgive. And you can go on and on. Integrity is serving God when nobody is watching. Amen. Hearing the word of God and doing it. Amen. God hides us in the wilderness to see our response. He also hides Himself from us to test our faithfulness. You see, relationship is proved in rocky times, not in the easy going, everything is all right times. Amen. But relationship is proved in the hard times. God is saying, you can claim to know me, or you want to know me. Now can you live my life? Can you trust me? Can you rely on me? Are you mine? He says. God is asking, are you mine? Amen. If you are, then He says, know me in the wilderness. The place of spiritual circumcision. The wilderness is a forsaken place. It is a place of loneliness, and yet God will be there through it all. The wilderness was enough to bring every fleshly emotion in Moses and in Israel in their lives. It brought it to the surface. But Egypt and Pharaoh was ahead for Moses when he was there the first time. And then when he was there with Israel, the walled promises of the promised land, the walled cities of the promised land was ahead of Moses and Israel. You see, a place where God would show His supernatural wonder. And if you want to be used today, folks, you better overcome the wilderness. Before you wear a crown, you have to be crucified on the cross. Can we serve Him in the time of lack as well as in the time of sufficiency? What lessons can we learn from the part of the wilderness life? We are called to serve God where He chooses. Preparation always precedes power. It's about relationship, not religion. Those who would proclaim to serve God must first learn to be still. Amen. The silence of the wilderness compared to the busyness of life. Faith is formed in the arena of having nothing. There were two things that happened in the wilderness. Moses and Israel saw themselves. They saw their weakness in the wilderness. They saw their own inability in the weakness in the wilderness. They saw their own flesh and pride in the wilderness. Moses and Israel developed a relationship, a dependency on God, and that would make them powerful, amen, vessels of God that we read about in Scripture. You see, the last day church today needs to learn the lesson of God's sufficiency instead of self-sufficiency if we are to impact these last days. You see, it was God that sent Moses and Israel into the wilderness. It was God who sustained them. It was God who would take them out of the wilderness in power. We have to stay faithful to God, folks. And we will come out of the wilderness if we are faithful. Amen. We will come out of the wilderness powerful for God. Amen. God wants us to learn something in the wilderness. And I ask you today, amen, folks, instead of complaining and being so frustrated with all that's going on, and it is easy to do, it is easy to be to that place. But we need to say, God, help me to learn in the wilderness. God, I want to come out of the wilderness better than I went in. God, I want to come out knowing, being closer to you and understanding, God, amen, your blessings in my life. I need you, God. Help me to learn so that I can come out of the wilderness powerful for the kingdom of God. The scripture says, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Folks, allow God to help you to learn in the wilderness. Amen. God, I want to be better. I want to come out better through this, Lord. No matter what has taken place in my life, I want to be better for you. Not my will, but thine be done. Lord, we just ask you right now to bless your people. God, I pray that you speak to every heart, Lord, today. And help us, God, to come out of the wilderness being what you want us to be. God, and to learn from things and understand you better, Lord. God, and just bless your people, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.